Boker Tov, and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirim and Daf Yomi. We are now in the final podcast of the fourth parak of Masechet Ketubot, picking up on Daf Nun Gimel Amud Bet, in our analysis of Mishnah Yud Aleph, which is found on Nun Bet Amud Bet. But nonetheless, we skipped Mishnah Yud Aleph and Yud Bet because they're only fully analyzed here. So let's take a look back for a moment at the Mishnah. The Mishnah states as follows. That among the things which are tanai beitin, if you benan nukvan di yahavin lechi minoi, literally female children that I have with you, yahavyan yatyan yatvan beveti mitzanan min chasai ad til akon leguvrin, they will stay in my house and they will be fed from my proper, from my estate, until they are taken to men, meaning until they're married. Chayav shu tanai beitin. All right, that's what the Mishnah says, and now let's see how the Gemara analyzes it. Rav Tani ad tilakhan leguvrin. Rav reads it the way our Mishnah reads it, which is that the condition is that they are taken care of until they're married. Levi Tani ad tibagran. And Levi had a different girsa. He said that reads that the girls will be fed until they become bogrot. Now, let's toss each one of these against each other. The Rav afagav de bagar. You're saying, according to Rav, the only issue is that they get married, even if they get older and they're not married, they're still fed. And according to Levi, if they're, the only issue is age, which means if they're already married, they're still fed by the estate, even though they're married to another man because they're not of age. So that, neither one of those makes sense. Ella bagar velo insiv, insiv velo bagar, lukoliam velo pligi. Everybody agrees if she became a bulgarit, even if she didn't get married, she's not fed anymore. If she got married, even if she didn't become a bulgarit, everybody agrees she's not fed anymore. Then her husband feeds her. Kipligi ba'arusa v'lo bagar. The only case they're talking about is when a girl becomes an arusa and has not yet reached bagrut. V'chein tani Levi m'maniti. Levi, in his Beit Midrash, this is the way he taught the Mishnah. Ad tibagran v'yimte zimne hondi ispan. The insiban. Meaning, until that they are fed, until they become bogrot, and the time comes for them to marry. Tarte, what do you need both? Meaning either one of those that happens, whichever happens first, or they become a bogeret, or the time to marry comes. Kitanoi, and then we find that this machloka between Rav and Levi about what happens when a girl is a na'ara, who is an arusa, if she's fed by the estate or not. Ad mataya bat nizonet, ad shetei ares, right? I mean, shum Rabbi Elazar amru ad shetei bager. We see that the machloket is, if a girl is not yet married, but she's betrothed, does she still eat mizonot, get mizonot from the estate before she's a bogeret, or until she's married, does she keep eating from the estate? Sorry, if she's an arusa, does she stop, or does she keep eating until she's a bogeret? Now, Tani Rav Yosef ad yehevyan. Rav Yosef had a girsa which said, until they are two men. What does that mean, are? Does it mean that they become betrothed, or become married? Teiku, unclear. I'm Rav Chista Rav Yosef. So Rav Chista now asked Rav Yosef, Mishmi alach minei de Rav Yehuda, arusa yishto mezonot o eino mezonot. Let's try to settle this. You know, did you, Rav Yosef, you learned this from Rav Yehuda. And what did Rav Yehuda, the master, say? Does an arusa get mezonot from the estate, or is she already out? Amarle, mishma lo shmieli. So Rav Yosef said, I didn't hear. But I would seem to stand a reason that she doesn't have. Why? Kevan de Irsa, since this husband had betrothed her, and she's an orphan, which means her father's not feeding her, he's not alive. He doesn't want her to be degraded, and she's his arusa, he's going to be feeding her. Now, Amar Le, Rav Chista turned to him and said, Mishma lo shmielach, if you didn't hear, Misfar idla, say the opposite. Reasoning would dictate, if you have a tradition, Mela, but if you don't have a tradition, reasoning would dictate the opposite, which is that she does get mizonot from the estate. Came into Lokimle Begava, because the guy didn't marry you yet, and who knows, things might break apart. Lo shadi zuzabichti, he's not going to start throwing money away for nothing, and he's not going to start feeding her when he's not chayav to. And we all know that a man is not chayav in mizonot, ishto, until he marries her, with the one exception, which is if the 12 months have come and gone, and he hasn't married her, and he's the one holding it up, etc. Now, v'ikadamri, some people read that the entire conversation happened in the opposite way. Amarle, meaning Rav Chista, Rav Yosef answered Rav Chista, Mishma lo shmieli, I did not hear what Rav Yehuda said about an arusa, misvara itla. The reason would dictate that she does have. Since the husband has not yet married her, is not sure he's going to marry her, he's not going to throw away money and feed her for nothing. Amarle and Rav Chista, then answered Rav Yosef, in this version, the opposite. Im Yishma Lo Shmiach, if you didn't hear, then Misvara Leitle, I would say the opposite, Leitla. The reason would dictate that she does not have Mizunot. Kevin de Irsa Lo Nechale de Titzil, since the man betrothed her, he doesn't want her to become degraded. Alright, good. So now we move on. Baumi Nemi Rav Sheshet, they asked Rav Sheshet the following. Mima Enet Yishla Mizunot Lo Ein Lo Mizunot. Now, this is the case where a girl is an orphan, his orphan brothers, and her brothers marry her off at the age of 8, whatever, she's being abused, it's an uncomfortable situation, they marry her off, and of course these are not Kiddushin Doraita, we spent a good amount of time in Yevamot dealing with Kiddushin Miyun, and it doesn't work out and she walks out at the age of 10. Does she now get Mizunot back that she didn't have while she was married to the fellow? She returned to get Mizunot. So Amar Rav Sheshet, Tini Tua, Rav Sheshet said, it's very clear, it's a Mishnah, because as Amana Beveta Via, if an almana goes back to her father's house, ugrusha beveit avia, or a divorced woman goes back to her father's house, v'shomer yavam beveit avia, shomer yavam, a woman who's waiting for yibum, goes back to her father's house, and all of these are three women who could remain on the estate. But in any case, when they went back to the father's house, yesh la mizonot, she still gets mizonot from the estate, even though she is in the father's house. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oda beveit avia yesh la mizonot, eina beveit avia eina mizonot. Rabbi Yehuda says what seems to be the same sentiment. If she's still in her father's house, she has mizunot. If she's not in her father's house, she doesn't have mizunot, which means if she's moved elsewhere. Now, Rehuda Hainatanakama, it sounds like Rehuda is saying the same thing. The difference between them is, how do we deal with ma'enet? The Tanakama, savar itla. The Tanakama thinks that a ma'enet does have mizunot. Rehuda savar, late lot. Rehuda says she doesn't, meaning she is not oda beveit aviha because it's not beit aviha, because she's doesn't have an aviha, as opposed to an amana and a gusha, shemet yavam, where the father's alive. By definition, a ma'enet cannot have a father. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda pins it on the oda beveit aviha. All right, so that seems to be the machloket. Now, boy Rish Lokish, bat yivama. Here's the mazanot, away in the mazanot. What if you have a woman as a yivama, she marries the yavam, and she has a daughter? Does the daughter get mizunot or not? After all, kevan da'amar ketuvah tal nichse bala rishon, we all know from Yivamot that when a Yivama marries a man, the ketubah that she gets from that man, if he divorces her or he dies, is from the original brother, because it's the original ketubah that kicks over. There's no need for a new ketubah. So therefore, you would say, late la, then this girl should not get mizunot from this fellow, because after all, this fellow had no financial obligations towards the woman. He's simply doing the mitzvah of Yibum. So therefore, mizonot, which are a subset of ketubah, would not apply here. Odilma kevin de'i late la mirishon tkinu la rabbanu misheni, but or the other possibility is that since the rabbi said that if there isn't enough money, or any money, coming from the dead brother's estate, then the brother who does marry her does have to pay a ketubah, itla, so now maybe this girl should get mizonot. The answer is teku. Well, it's a difficult situation because the mother in any case is promised the ketubah. But she's promised the ketubah from the first husband, who of course didn't have the daughter with her, because if he did, there would be no Yibum here. By Rabbi Elazar, bat shnia. What if a woman is married to somebody who's she's a shnia to him? All right, what do the rabbis say? That there is no ketubah, no mizonot. Okay, but what happens if she has a daughter in this rabbinically illegitimate marriage, and the husband dies? Does she get mizonot or ain't no mizonot? Now let's think about it. Came under late la ketubah, late la mizonah. You could argue that since this woman does not have a ketubah, so the daughter doesn't get mizonot because it's all part of the ketubah. Odil ma'ama da'av ima da'av da'isura kansura abonon. Maybe it's only the mother who gets deprived of her ketubah because she violated an isur by marrying somebody she can't marry. Id lo av da'isura lo kansura abonon. But this girl didn't violate anything. She's simply the result of such a relationship. So teiku. So the answer is teiku. Boy Rava, we have another question. Bat Arusa. The girl's an Arusa, and she has a daughter. A man had relations with his Arusa and has a daughter. Yesh lam mizunot, ve'en lam mizunot. Does he have to take care of feeding the daughter? Kevan de'itla ketubah itla. Since, after all, an Arusa would get a ketubah. If the husband died, if the fiancé died, she'd get a ketubah. But the takan of the Rabbanon was the ketubah only gets written at the time of marriage, which means no ketubah physically exists right now, late law. So teku. Bar papa bat anusa. Alright, a man is ones a girl, she has a daughter. Yesh la mizonot, ein la mizonot. And here's a tricky question. I'll leave it to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, lo tibar elach. If you recall, in the earlier on the parak, we saw that Rabbi Yosef Yehuda says that an anusa has a ketubah of 100. It's when he then marries her, she's got a ketubah of 100, because she's not a betulah, obviously. He made her not a betulah, so he pays the knas of 200, plus she's got a ketubah of 100. Tamar Yisrael ketubah maneh, and what was the reason? The reason was because they were concerned, the whole reason for ketubah, as we're going to see in a second, or reminded of in a second, is that it shouldn't be too easy for him to throw her out. He wanted him to not be so hasty. But since he can't divorce his anusa, the Torah says you can't divorce her, therefore there's no such consideration. Rabbi Yossi says that in such a case, the man will be so mean to her and everything else that she'll refuse to go through the marriage. Therefore, they put a ketubah in there to make sure that he doesn't deliberately act that mean just to quash the marriage. So now, Rabbi Yossi Yehuda says, Yesh lak ketubah manet. So therefore, it's clear that the girl gets mezonot. Ki tiboy lach, when is the question asked? Alibi Rabbanan, who say, Damri yatzah kesef knasah biktubata. The knas is the ketubah, and she already got it. So my... came into late laktubah, late lamazoni. Do we argue that since there is no ktubah, there's no mazonot for the girl? Odilma ktubah, time am I. What's the reason for ktubah? Kanei shalotei kalav minav lotziyav, alamatzi mapikla. Maybe the only reason that this girl doesn't have a ktubah is because the whole ktubah was instituted to make it hard for the guy to divorce her, and this one is not allowed to divorce, so therefore there's no reason. But why should the girl get deprived of mazonot as a result? So teiku. Okay, now we take a look, and let's go back again to Daf Nun Bet Amud Bet, and take a look at the Mishnah Yud Bet, which is at the end of the group of Mishnayot there, which is as follows. The man has to write, Ateh yotva beveti umidzana minechasai kol yimei megar amunuteich beveti chayav. Man, if he didn't write, you will stay in my house and be fed from my property as long as you're an almana in my house, you're chayav, because that's a tanai beitin. And by the way, kacha yu anshe Yerushalayim kotvin, that's what the minhag was in Yerushalayim, anshe Galil yu kotvin kanshe Yerushalayim, keep this in mind, for in a couple minutes we're going to see what the psak is. In the Galil they wrote the same thing, but anshe Yehuda yu kotvin they wrote different. Ad shi yotzua yoshin niten lach tubatech. That in Yehuda, they put the errors in the driver's seat, and they written, the text was that you will stay in the house until the yoshim want to pay you off. Therefore, if the Yoshim wanted to, they can pay the ketubah and be done with her. So now, on the first half of that, which is the, before we get to the different minhagim, ata yatva beveti, so the Gemara says, Taner of Yosef, we're back on Nundal and Amud Aleph, beveti velo bevikti. Rav Yosef points out that part of the condition here is that I will restore you, that you'll stay in my house. But that means my house and not my shed, meaning if there is no proper place for her to stay on the property, then she can't demand that the heirs have to vacate their own home or that they have to build her a home. If there's a house for her to stay in, fine, but if not, not. Of Mazoni Idla, but Rav Yosef says, nonetheless, that doesn't affect Mazonot. She can go live somewhere else. She can go back to her father's house, but they still have to support her with food. Mar Ravashi Amar Afilu Mazoni Nami Leitla. She says, no, part of the condition isn't fulfilled, the whole thing falls apart. It's only her living on the estate, because it's like a connection to the dead husband, the memory's being kept alive, so therefore that she's being fed. But immediately we reject that and say she gets mezonot in any case. Now, let's say she's an almana, and somebody, a suitor, came to her and said, will you please marry me? And she agreed. At that point, she no longer gets mezonot, and because clearly she's leaving this husband's property. Halonit paisa, yesh la mezonot. So it sounds like if she rejected the offer, she still has mezonot. So just to clarify what the problem here is she seems to be dragging her feet. She has an opportunity to marry, and she refuses because she's having an easy time here. Really, she should be moving on with her life. So we should not allow her to turn down offers which are reasonable offers of marriage, so she could stay on the property, and excuse for saying so, sponging off the heirs. So Rav Shmuel explained it to me, meaning Amra Machmat Ploni Ba'ali, if she says, I'm staying here because I have tremendous honor for my husband, and I'm not ready to marry somebody new, so Yesh La Mezonot, because her presence is part of Kavod for the mate. Machmat Bnei Adam Shenam Hugarim Li, but if she says, it's because the guy who proposed to me is not worthy of me, and mamazonot, because she could do that ad infinitum and continue to be a parasite off of the property. And so at that point, if somebody proposes to her and she, the reason she turns him down is because she thinks he's beneath him, she should marry him. I'm Rav Chista, zinta in la mezonot. So he says, if while she's in almana, she goes and sleeps with somebody, that's it. Rav Yosef, kichalau firchasa in la mezonot. If she starts doing makeup and fancying her hair, it's clear that she's interested in meeting another man. In la mezonot. Now, madam are zinta, kol shekin kichalau firchasa. You notice the priorities are backwards, seemingly backwards to what we were counterintuitive. If the Rav Chista who said that if she had sexual relations with somebody, so Kal Vachomer he would say that if she started wearing makeup, that she would lose the mezonot. Manda markich lo firchasa valzinta idla. But the one who said, Rav Yosef who said, it's only if she wore makeup would mean it's only if she wore makeup, but if she had znut, idla what? My time, my yetzer ansa, because she got the best of her and she had relations with somebody, but doesn't indicate an intent to leave the household and leave the estate. And one night she gave in. V'leitel chatak kachol hanishmata. By the way, all of these approaches that we just saw, Rav Yosef, Rav Chista, etc., are rejected. The only one that we accept is Shmuel's ruling. The minute she comes to Beit Din and says, I want to get my ketubah, that's when she doesn't get mezonot anymore. Not if she starts taking offers, turning down offers, accepting offers, whatever it may be. She gets mezonot until she actually gets married to somebody else, unless she comes into Beit Din and claims her ketubah. So, hello? Really, there's nothing else? If she sold her ketubah, sold the rights to the ketubah, if she made her ketubah a collateral against a loan, if she made her ketubah a designated piece for collection on a loan, in la mezonot, immediately she loses mezonot. So it's not just when she claims the ketubah, it's when she does any dealings with the ketubah. Right? So the answer is hani in, avam tovat lo. So you see that it's only when she actually acts on the ketubah, not just claiming it. The answer is hani min veitin min shelo beveitin. These three things of selling it or using it as designated for collection, etc. That's whether she does it in the beitin or not in the beitin. Tovat beveitin in shelo beveitin lo. But tovat, if she claims the ketubah, it's only if she claims it in the beitin. If she claims it outside of the beitin, then she doesn't lose mezonot. So claiming it is something that's a little bit less harsh, and therefore she has to make more of a formal claim before she loses mezonot. The last piece in the Mishnah we saw was the machloket between Anshei Yerushalayim and Anshei Yehuda about whether or not the almana is in the driver's seat and can get mezonot from the family until she leaves, or the heirs are in the driver's seat and the minute they pay her off, she loses mezonot. Itmar, Rav Amar Halacha k'Anshei Yehuda. So Rav ruled like Anshei Yehuda in favor of the heirs. Shmuel Amar Halacha k'Anshei Galil. Right? Shmuel said the halacha is like the people in Galil, like Yerushalayim, in favor of the almana. Now, Bavel, v'chol parvadtach, parvadha, now k'rav, so Babylonia and all of it, the districts there, ruled like Rav in favor of the heirs. Nahardea, v'chol parvaha, now k'shmuel, the particular city of Nahardea and its environs all followed Shmuel's custom, which will become a significant thing in a minute about the locales. Hahim bat Mechuza, here's the story. There was a girl from Mechuza, which is part of Bavel. Tahava nesivah l'Nahardea, she had married a Nahardean. And what happened was he had died. She was an almana. And now the heirs wanted to pay her off and get her off. And she said, no, I want to stay as long as I want to stay. He heard that she was from Mechuza. He said, hey, you know what? They're all knowing like Rav, and therefore they can pay you off. They told him, Nachman, but she married a Nahardean. If that's the case, Nahardean, the Nahardea and all its environs rule like Shmuel, which means that you have the leverage here to say that you can, you're going to stay on the property as long as you want. Now, how far does Nahardea go? How do you decide where Nahardea ends and Babel begins? As far as the weight measures that are used in Nahardea are used, anywhere that those are used, that's called Nahardea. Now, Itmar, Almana, Rav Amar Shamin Masha Aleha. This is a side point. When an Almana comes in to get the ketubah, Rav says we estimate what she's wearing and take that away from the payment. She's promised $1,000. She's got $1,000 worth of jewelry on, so that's it. Shmuel Amar Ein Shain Mashalei. We ignore what she's wearing. We don't measure it, and that doesn't count. Chiyav Ravin v'chilufa b'lakit. Chiyav Ravin said they have the opposite approaches when it comes to a worker, a lakit, a worker that I hire a worker and I bring him to my house and I give him work clothes and then he comes to collect his payment. According to this, Shmuel says we consider how much the clothes are worth and we subtract that from the payment. Rav says we ignore it. Rav Kahana matni v'chen b'lakit. Rav Kahana said no. Actually, Rav and Shmuel maintain their positions. The Rav says we count it, and Shmuel says we don't. Umanach basimana. And Rav Kahana said, you know what? Rav had a mnemonic, which is yatma v'yarmalta shalachufuk. The orphan and the widow have to take their clothes off and leave. Meaning that both the orphan, meaning a typical lakit, and the almana, their clothes count against them. Right, so Amar of Nachman, v'afagav that non matnitin kavateta Shmuel. So Nachman pointed out, even though the Mishnah seems to say like Shmuel, hilchata kavateta Rav, we rule like Rav, which itself is a conundrum. We'll try to fix it. That non, this is a Mishnah in Arachin. Echadam aknishna chasav, whether somebody says I'm being makdish my property, v'echadam arichet atzmo, he says I'm giving my own erech based on the standardized structure in Vayikra. Ein lo lo bichsut ishto v'lo bichsut panav. None of the clothing of his wife or of his children or the shoes that he bought for them, none of that counts towards nechasav. So Mali Rav Lav Nachman. So which makes it sound like what his wife is wearing does not count as part of his property, and therefore, when I come to pay the ketubah, you don't say, well, the wife's got this much that she's wearing. That's her own thing, and you still have to pay her the ketubah. It sounds like Shmuel. So I'm really Rav Lav Nachman. So the question is, since the Mishnah seems to support Shmuel, why is the halacha like Rav? So Marle Lechara Kishmuel Rehita. It only looks like it follows Shmuel. In other words, the Mishnah looks like it supports Shmuel, but if you look carefully, you'll see it supports Rav. My Tama. Why did the husband buy his wife these nice clothes? So she should appear in front of him in these nice clothes. He didn't give her these nice clothes, so she should use them to go do business. Which means that when he's alive, of course, they have that status. But after he's dead, so it's a gift to her. Kalta deve Rav El Yoshiv, Rav Katova Ktuvata Miyatmi. So this is Rabbi Bar El Yoshiv, deve Bar El Yoshiv. So his daughter-in-law from that household was claiming the Ktubah from the Yitomim. Have Kamamti Lahu Levedina. So she was taking the Levedin. Amri, they said, Zila on Milta de Tezliachi. They said, listen, you're our father's widow. It's degrading for us that you should walk like this. You know, you're not dressed nicely. They had to put on all the jewelry and all the fancy clothes. Right? And she thought, no, I'm going to Beit Din, dress nice. They came to Ravina. He said, that we count what she's wearing. So she ended up wearing a lot. She ended up getting very little for the ketubah because she was wearing all these fancy clothes. They tricked her. There was a guy who said, I want to give a particular dowry for my daughter, who was on his deathbed. Zal Nadunya. What happened is that particular Nadunya went down in value. In other words, he said, I want to have this particular dress for my daughter. And the dress was worth $500. But when it came time for her to marry, it was worth $200. So does she get to keep the $300 because he really gave her a $500 gift? Or does she keep the dress and the rest of the property goes to the heirs? V'diravin poran liyatmi, the extra money goes to the Yatomim and not to the girl. Hahu da'amra lahu. So here we have the opposite case. A man said, I want 400 zuz worth of wine to be given to my daughter as part of a dowry. And then the guy died. Iker chamra, wine went up. So now what do you say? Do you say now she should have the same amount of wine, but even though it's going to be 800 zuz worth? Or does she get half the amount of wine, if it went up double, and she owes still only 400 zuz? Rav Yosef Rav Chaliatmi, that the Yatomim get the profit, meaning that she doesn't now get twice as much wine. She gets a small amount of wine now, lesser amount of wine, still 400 zuz worth of wine. Kreve de Rabbi Yochanan. We had another story of one of Rabbi Yochanan's relatives, a similar story. Havelu itat abba. So a particular relative of Rabbi Yochanan had a father's wife, meaning his father's widow. She ate a lot. And she was eating off the property. And they passed like Shmuel that we had to allow her to stay as long as she wanted to until she decided to leave. Also coming to Rabbi Yochanan. So they came to Rabbi Yochanan. Amar lehu izilu v'amrule lavuchon d'niyachid la'ara l'mazona. Evidently, father was still alive. So they said, go tell your father to set aside a piece of land for a mazonot. And that'll be the source. He thought that would cut it off and make it very limited. Out to the coming of Shlokish, the coming of Shlokish, Amalahu, Koshkein, Shribil Amazonot. Now he's given her sort of an unending source of finances for Amazonot. So Amrulay, Rabbi Yochanan, Lo Amrahachi, Rabbi Yochanan, your brother in law didn't say like that. Amalahu, Zilu Havula. So he said, all right, so go give it to her. If not, I'll pull Rabbi Yochanan out of yours. In other words, go give her what he said. Rabbi Yochanan said, what can I do? One who is my fellow who disagrees with me. I understood why Rabbi Yochanan said what he did. Amar, if you say limizonot, in other words, this is the whole catch. If the guy put the property aside and said it's limizonot, so ribala mizonot, what it means is I'm chayav to pay him mizonot, and now here's this land that's sort of surety against that. Amar bim mizonot, but if you put the land aside and said it's bim mizonot, meaning this is your mizonot, then kitzeitzla mizonot. Then you've really set a limit, and she can't get any more than that, and that's the way to protect yourself. So Rabbi Yochanan really told him to go and say bim mizonot. Either they weren't careful, they didn't report it carefully to Rish Lakish, and Rish Lakish accurately said, if you say lim mizonot, then you've given her more avenues of collection. So, hadronalach narashin patata. And now we are ready, Mirtz Hashem, in the next podcast to begin the fifth parak, Be'ezer Hashem. Everyone should have a wonderful day.